To the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, this week, it's a great week for educators. You're seeing discounts, free dinners, coffee, donuts, surprises from students and parents, all part of National Teachers Appreciation Week. But teachers are also confronting issues that they are dealing with inside the classroom and outside of the classroom. And tonight we're going to talk about all of that as we kick off National Teachers Appreciation Week. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. Are you a teacher out there? Do you have questions? Do you have concerns that you'd like to address tonight? This is the time to do it. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. There's a talk of a new normal in the classroom, and we're going to talk about that also tonight. Joining us tonight is Gianni Clarkson. He is an educator with Paul Charter School here in the district. And he is going to talk with us again about some of the issues that teachers are dealing with, some of the changes that they would like to see be made, and just what they would like to see also from administrators and parents and students. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Phone lines are open. Mr. Clarkson, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Well, I gave kind of a long, not that long of a laundry list, but we know teachers are one of our most important assets. We hear it all the time. We also know they're the most underpaid for the work that is done and the responsibilities that are on your shoulders. Talk to us a little bit here in 2022. How are you feeling as a teacher about what you do in your profession?
I would say this, that teaching does feel like a thankless job. However, it is not for the faint of heart. If you want to be a teacher, then you have to have that passion that drives in you every day. And being someone who is just really fallen in love with education and been teaching now 11 years, this year for me has been very challenging because it's the year post us being away from our school family because we were doing online learning, and seeing how our children really needed the schoolhouse has become even more evident in these as we close up this school year.
What's made it evident, seeing that they need those walls around them?
Well, for some students, right, school is that mandatory, is that one safe space where they know that they can come somewhere and they're going to be loved on. They know that it is safe. They know that there's food there. And there's people that are naturally rooting for them. Some of my scholars don't necessarily have all of those elements that are there. I'm lucky to be a part of a really strong school community where our kids feel that all the time. And because they feel that, they love being in our space. You know, I've laughed and said that our school building opens at 7 a.m. and the last kid may not leave our campus till 7 p.m. So we're seeing, once again, that consistent desire for students to be around the schoolhouse because it's a cultural staple of the community.
Gianni, there's this recent poll that's come out through the National Education Association saying 55% of teachers say they plan on leaving the profession sooner than they had originally planned. And my guess on the other side of that, and I'm wondering this, if also sometimes students, or teachers rather, are they equipped with what they need to do their jobs? And that, you know, that could be a variety of things. That could be, are they in a position to succeed where they've been placed? Are they ready to teach? Are they ready to deal with some of the issues that they have to deal with in certain schools? So when you hear that statistic, what is sort of driving that? Is it some teachers not really being realistic on what they have to face coming in, or are there other issues that we're talking about?
A little column A and a little column B. Mm-hmm. So the column A is that, unfortunately, there are some people who are inside the profession of teaching who look at the perks but don't look at the work. They say, oh, I know that I'm going to get these holidays off. I know I don't have to work in the summer. It's a consistent paycheck. But when the rubber hits the road, they realize it's a lot more challenging than they thought. That's that one category over there. Then there are some teachers inside of their individual school communities that deal with the challenges of not being supported, whether it be not being supported by administration, not being supported by the family community, and they say, you know what, this is too stressful for me, I'm out, I'm going to leave. And then some of it is a post effect of the pandemic. Some school communities have had children return to them a lot more different than what they experienced originally inside of behaviors, realizing that there's educational gaps that you have to close. Because though the great experiment of virtual learning happened, there are a lot of assumptions that were made that everyone could be an independent learner like that, or that everyone had the resources to learn from home. Last year, I did have one student who did not want to show their background because they were, you know, ashamed of what it was. And then the one day, you know, kind of talking to them about it, they revealed their background. I noticed they're in the back of a fast food restaurant. Hmm. Well, why are they there? Because their parent works at that fast food restaurant, and that's the only spot that they can get free Wi-Fi because the scholar didn't have Wi-Fi at home. So a combination of this perfect storm has led to some teachers that are leaving the profession. But the ones that are here do dearly care about the work and understand how important the job is.
Sheila Carr Spence, she's taught high school mathematics for 4 decades. So she is one who has put in her dime. She's taught in low income and high income school districts, and she joins us also. Ms. Spence, tell us about in those 4 decades, here in this 4th decade, are the challenges different than when you first started teaching? What's different from your first few years to now here in 2022? Ms. Spence, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted.
Okay.
There's always challenges. When I first started teaching, I just remember everybody saying, the crack babies are coming. The crack babies are coming. What are we going to do? And that was the hysteria back then. And now our issue is the COVID children. They are going to have this gap moving forward that we can't close, okay? Because of COVID, our school district made all kinds of accommodations. When we first went in, basically we were told we can't fail any students. And so the students didn't put forth any effort. And so I'm a mathematics teacher. And so when I'm teaching and I'm seeing these gaps and I'm asking questions, and they're very honest with me. Oh, Ms. Carson, I wasn't on. I slept the whole time.
Hmm.
I just logged in and left. And I said, but you hurt yourself. And I explained it to them, that the implications because of the decisions that you make. Now, I work in a school district where almost everybody gets accepted in college. And I said, this is how it's going to play out. I said, you have holes in your math. And I said, you probably won't pass your math placement test. And you'll probably have to take a remedial math and not get any credit. And I said, so because you decided, they decided that they were going to play this game where the school district is going to keep passing me. I said, it could cost you anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 because of the decision that you made.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically what I said is, I'm really good at diagnosing the holes in academics when it comes to math. And I said, I can tell you what you're lacking, and I can give you some resources, but what I'm not going to do is reteach you. But you have to be driven. And I said, because when you go to college, the person sitting next to you is hungry. And they worked hard. And I also told them there's a good chance that in the areas of math and science, you will not have teachers where English is their first language. And so often those professors don't think highly of American students because they think we're lazy. And so I said, you have to fight through all of this. And I said, are you willing to fight? Now, 50% of the students were all in because they don't want to take remedial math. And then I said, so we have to make sure you have your algebra down and your trig now, because I'm and I also I teach business calc and I teach pre calc.
So definitely the pandemic, and we've done shows on this, is affecting not only the students, Ms. Carr Spence, as you mentioned, but also mm-hmm. affecting the teachers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I want to also, now that we're sort of moving, making the pandemic really sort of a new normal, and we're kind of getting back to some normalcy, and then what that means and what that looks like for teachers. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It is National Teachers Appreciation sure. Week, and tonight we are talking about teachers. We're going to go to the phone line. Anderson calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So this is mine. I've been teaching about 20 years, and I think these last 2 years have taken a toll, especially on me. And I think the more the pandemic, and now that the children are back, there's more pressure on teachers to perform, but without the resources, not being able to take off. There's no subs. There's less teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There's some teachers having to take on two or three classes because teachers are either quit or they can't fill those positions. And then a lot of it is accountability. Our parents aren't accountable for our children. When these children were in pandemic mode, they were left to fend for themselves. And then when the grades come out, they're like, okay, why are you telling my kids? But they're not accountable for the children. They're not accountable for the resources they're given to the laptops. They're broken. They don't care about replacing them, whether they get them or not. And I think it's just piling up on teachers, and we're doing more, and we're tired. Mm-hmm. I know I am. I'm just tired.
Well, thank you.
I love teachers.
Thank you so much. Is it Ms. Anderson? I just see Anderson. Is that your first name? Is that last name or first? Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for your call. And what you do as a teacher. Gianni, she mentioned resources, and, it's more than just pens and pencils. And I thought what was interesting about what Anderson mentioned was she said resources, and she tied that to just having substitutes and having teachers being able to take time off. And so when she's talking about resources, would you agree all of that encompasses resources? What's coming from administrators, whether it's supplies, whether it's time off, whether it's time to put together classes in the manner that you need to be able to put them in, are those challenges still there, and are they even more so now?
Absolutely. I would say that is the challenges of the substitute pool has always been a big thing. And I know for a fact that I'm very hesitant to take off of work anyway, because I know that if I do take off, that it's going to be, there's a huge gap between myself and the substitute. So I don't want to take off. But now, because of everyone that's dealing with post-pandemic and, issues, when you do take off, you didn't think about, well, am I weakening my school community? Because I know that they might not be able to have a sub. And now I'm fearful that I might be taking away a planning period away from one of my teammates because they have to cover a class that I'm not there for. So that's one resource. The other resource, and I'll say this again too, and then some school communities, is that I've been fortunate where this is not part of my school community, but in some school communities, not having computers for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have computers for everybody, in this 21st century version of learning, someone's going to be left out. And that hinders how a scholar grows and what they're able to do inside of the classroom. So the pandemic really revealed a lot of the educational gaps that are happening inside of urban communities. When I was, completing my dissertation this year, that was one of the conversations that came up a lot about how do we make sure that urban schools are right on the same pace as their peers, and it all boils down to those resources. What are those computers? What does that Wi-Fi look like in the home? And in urban schools have done a great job of closing that gap, but there's still a lot more that can be done.
Well, you bring up such an important point, and I want to hit on that, the urban versus suburban schools. You teach at a charter school in the district, and Ms. Carr Spence, I'm assuming you teach at a public school also in the area, correct?
Yes, I do.
Right, and so the differences between not only public and private, but urban and suburban, and I want us to get into that and a little bit more about parents. The relationship with parents and teachers always can be, not always, sometimes can be fraught, but what that relationship is like now, and especially when we're seeing more and more in the news, parents going to these school board meetings, demanding changes, demanding more input. So I'd like to hear from our educators about that, and also like to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum on in the Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This discussion continues on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about teachers, what they're dealing with, their challenges, the ups, the downs. It is National Teacher Appreciation Week, so this is the appropriate day and week to talk about educators and all that they are experiencing. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Are you a teacher? Are there certain things that you would like to sort of get off your chest, talk about, questions that you have? Are you a parent wanting to know how things are happening with teachers in the classroom? Administrators, we also would like to hear from you, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sheila Carr Spence, talk to me a little bit about parents. Again, you've had 40 years as an educator. Have things changed at all in the parent-teacher dynamic, or as things change, they stay the same? Ms. Carr Spence? All right, we'll come back to her.
I'm sorry. I can hear you.
Okay.
I put myself on mute, so I was disturbing.
Okay.
But anyway, prior to the pandemic, the parents used to really come out, pack the house. We had to come there early because we had no place to park. So then we had back to school night on Zoom. Very few parents. I was teaching probably about 120 kids, and normally I might have about 60 to 70 parents. I had three.
Wow.
That whole evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going like, you know what? They're in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had it again on Zoom, it was just a little bit better. I don't know if they're zoomed out, tapped out, or just tired, but I was really surprised. I expected more because they didn't have to deal with parking. They didn't have to follow their children's entire schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still not sure why they didn't come. But one thing I did notice, that the kids advocate for themselves more than they ever had. Before, if a child had an issue, it would come through a parent to me. But now I'm having students who email me. That's the upside of all of this. They email me, communicate with me their needs and their concerns. So that was one positive that I saw about this. And some of them actually matured because they see life a little bit differently now. You know, the fear factor is there. We've had children who had to take care of their parents who had COVID. So it changed their lives.
Yeah. Gianni, what's been your experience with parents? And again, we've seen on the news here of lately, obviously, the critical race theory sort of has really sort of ramped up our attention of parents being involved and wanting a say. We've seen that in Virginia, especially during the gubernatorial race, that became a major issue. But outside, mm-hmm. outside of that, has the parent-teacher relationship changed? Have you seen different expectations parents have for teachers or vice versa? Or again, has it pretty much played out how it always has? You have some sort of, you know, rough spots with parents and other parents who are more involved. What's been your take of late?
It's a mixed bag. You know, we have some parents who are highly engaged in everything that their scholars do, very highly engaged with talking to the teachers, you know the principal well, call you on your cell phone and everything else. And I laugh because they remind me a lot of how my parents operate inside of a school community. Then you have some parents who have bitter feelings about the whole education system because of how they progress through the system. I remember one time that I was in part of a school community, and I would have to do parent-teacher conference with a teacher. Do parent-teacher conference with a parent at a local grocery store because the parent didn't want to walk up into school because she went to that school as a kid and had trauma left over from when she attended that school. Now, Miss Such and Such is dead and gone, but yet those scars still live in that parent, and that was something that I had to deal with. But there are parents that are really just kind of doing the best that they can. I remember one of the best advices I got a long time ago is your parents are sending the best child that they know how to raise. They're not sending the best child ever. They're sending the best child that they know how to raise. So because of that, I always try to offer a lot of patience and kindness. You know, I don't necessarily may have the, you know, good majority of the time I have great relationships with parents. But when there are those rough spots, I know that my best thing that I can offer parents is grace, especially coming out of this pandemic because of all the things that are going on. I've had students who have lost parents due to the pandemic, and it's changed them. You know, it's morphed them to being a little bit growner, being more adult than they have to be. But the goal is to always help kids remember that school is a safe space, and I'm here for you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are focusing on our teachers, the roles that they play, the challenges that they have, and the issues that they are trying to really deal with, smooth out, to be able to do what they are committed to doing, which is educating our children. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. AJ is calling from the district. Go right ahead with your question or comment. Go right ahead, AJ. Okay, we'll give us a call back, AJ, and we'll sort of get your question or your comment in. Sheila, can I call you Sheila, by the way, so I don't have to say Carr Spence and... that way we can be a little bit more familiar. I can shorten it down to one name.
Yeah.
Sheila, talk to me. Have you taught in public your entire 40 years, or have you had some private school experience?
All public.
All public. Even though you've been in public, you know, most educators have some sense of private school. The challenges for teachers, how would you assess how they're different for public school teachers versus those who are in private school?
Okay, private school teachers. My husband did private for a minute, and I told him he couldn't afford to stay. We couldn't afford for him to stay in private because they don't pay. Private, I felt like the parents expectations was based on the fact that they were paying tuition. As opposed to public school. And so if a parent complained in a private school, they were heard, because they were paying tuition. And public school is a little bit different, you know.
Are the parents not heard, or is it they have to get in line?
Heard, but you can't come in here and try to dictate what's happening in my classroom because you have a high-paying job. No, not at all.
Okay, and Gianni, how about you? Have you had experiences or seen a sense of those differences between public and private school in terms of for teachers?
Well, I've taught all public my 11 years teaching in the district. Overall, I think that so no experience teaching private, but I have had parents that have been highly engaged and wanted to have say so inside of what their scholar's educational journey is, mm-hmm. and I think that makes sense. I think that overall, though, there are still times when some parents may go a little too far and not really understand. Hey, let us do our job. Like that's important. You're like you trust us. You brought your child here, so trust us to do what we do best.
And I think that's one of the things that you're hearing a lot among teachers. Again, I keep going back to these sort of school board meetings and some of these banning of books, is that teachers are hired to teach, and that the parents have to allow them to teach. So I'm sure that's always the delicate dance. You want the parents involved, but you don't want the parents so much involved that it hinders you from doing your job. 202.
You know what it is?
What's that?
Is what it is. Everyone thinks they're an expert because they've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, look, I've gone to school K through 12, and we did it this way, and it worked. And I'm evidence of that it worked because look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, well, yes and no. Yes, you are a great product, but we have information and data that says we might need to navigate the situation this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that understanding that relationship is really what builds strong school communities. There's a way of having that conversation without coming across condescending to our parents, who we desperately need to build strong, you know, kids inside of our community.
Sure. I guess it's like new parents, you know, your old parents, hey, we used to use talcum powder on the baby. Look at me. You know, we all turned out well. And then you have to say, yeah, but the new information now says, you know, talcum powder may not be so good for the breathing of children. Even though some of us turned out well.
Right.
So I definitely
right, absolutely.
I hear what you're saying. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Andrian calling from Adrian. Okay. All right. Adrian calling from D.C. Go right ahead with your question or comment. AJ, are you there? Did we lose him?
Yes, hello?
Oh, there she is. Okay, go right ahead.
Yep. Well, I had two comments. One is I work in the school system, and I know a lot of the subs were let go from several of the school systems around here
mm-hmm.
during the pandemic. And since schools are just now starting to come back open, they don't want to come back because they feel like, why should they? The other thing is that in this time frame, what I've seen is that a lot of kids lost basically those two school years. We have kids that's like 3-4 school grades behind their grade level in all the subjects. And it's really a disaster that's going to have to be drastically fixed.
All
like
right.
Like a major reboot of how school is done now.
What do you think of Adrian's comments, Sheila, that this sort of change that we've all had to go through over the last couple of years, has it forced school districts, school systems to take a different approach to education? Do you think there's been some reflection on
Absolutely.
These times about
Absolutely.
How things could be differently, done differently, and maybe even better?
Absolutely. I'm a mathematics teacher. We're not using textbooks anymore.
Hmm.
Our textbooks are online, but our resources are online. And that saves the school district millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they wanted to move toward anyway. But there's always been some resistance.
That's the OEPs or something like that. I think that's an acronym for not using the textbooks, but using sources and resources outside of textbooks. But that means more work for the teacher, right? Because you have to then gather up those documents and research them?
What they do is they will get it for us and say, you can use this. Okay, what they did was they gave out textbooks year two, the first semester. Many of those textbooks didn't come back.
Mm.
So when it was time to, you know, switch classes, we didn't have enough books. And so they were moving toward this anyway. And so it's cost efficient. The software costs about $100 per year, per teacher. And that's the cover I teach four classes. Actually, it's the same software for all the classes because it hits most of the subjects. Now, no textbooks satisfy everything that we have to cover in the mm-hmm. curriculum because we're not a large state. If we were in California or Texas, yes. So we always had to look for resources. But this is our new culture that most subject areas in high school, I can't speak for the elementary and middle school, we're moving toward not using textbooks. And I ask the children, you know, most of the kids like it, but if I have a student who has an IT or 504, I have them take a textbook home anyway.
What is an IT or a 504 for our listeners?
504 is for an IT. IT is special ed. Okay. And the 504s are different. That comes through guidance if a child has a health challenge. But they don't give us any information. They say, these are the modifications. If a child has a 504, the teachers are responsible for using all the modifications. Otherwise, the teacher can be sued. It used to be the child had to ask you, say, okay, Ms. Carson, I need extended time. Ms. Carson, I might need this blown up to a bigger font. Or Ms. Carson, I need a live reader. Or Ms. Carson, can you use this device so that I can hear you? And it used to be, probably back before COVID, that the child had to advocate for themselves natural resources, but now we have to give it to them anyway. So I offer it to them.
So it's
sometimes they
a little bit more
decline.
Work. Hold your thought right there, Sheila. We're going to pick up on that. We're going to take a quick break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight, teachers, educators. The phone lines are open. This is the Insight segment. We'll be back right after this time. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're focusing on teachers. Today is the start of National Teachers Appreciation Week, and we are showing our appreciation by focusing on teachers and talking about the issues that they are confronting and successes that they are also having. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Daphne is calling from West Virginia. Go right ahead with your question or comment, Daphne.
Oh, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Oh, because I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, go right ahead with your question or comment. You may have to turn your radio down.
Oh, my comment, basically, like I was telling the lady who answered the phone, I know my why, and I teach over in West Virginia. So, you know, it's hard in that area. It's not easy in that area, and I could very easily come over, like I told her, to PG County or Montgomery County or Virginia mm-hmm. and teach to make more money. But for me, I know my why, and my why is my student. And yes, I went through the COVID thing. I went through, you know, dealing with a lot of racism where I'm at. Because West Virginia is not quite ready for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with that. But my principal is the reason why I come to my school. He is white. He's not black, but he's a teaching principal. And I love him. He's a model, and he's just if it wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't be there. So I appreciate him, I honor him, and he's teaching me that if I ever want to be a principal, you know, he's somebody who I would want to follow in his footsteps. But my students, and they all have IEPs, but they're special ed. I teach special ed 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and I do BD, so their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them have IEPs. For some reason or another, and it's okay. I don't have a problem with that because I am their voice, and I don't know, and people don't know their journey. They come in, they may not be fed. They come in, they may be a little dirty here and there. We don't know what goes on in their home,
right.
Okay? Well, we don't know that. So I have to be their voice. I have to be their protector.
Okay. Daphne, thank you so much for your call. I want to be sure, you know, we don't run out of time, and I want to let the, excuse me, our guests sort of jump into and piggyback a little bit about what you said, Daphne. And one of the things I wanted to follow up on is when she talked about her principal and how much that principal is supporting her and making her experience so much better. And I had mentioned earlier one of these recent polls, the one that came out from the National Education Association. And in that poll, it said when surveyed, teachers felt the most appreciated by their students, but least appreciated, Gianni, by their school/school system. So what are the challenges that teachers have with the administration and school system, and how can those two work together best to get the best out of students? I'll start with you, Gianni.
I think that in some school communities where there may be, you know, concerns between admin and teachers, there's a feeling that those teachers don't feel appreciated, that they have made certain sacrifices to make things happen, whether it be with your general education students or your scholars that do receive special education services. And, you know, no one wants to go anywhere and not feel appreciated. And I think that is what leads teachers to leave certain school communities and overall leave the profession overall. The best bet to solve this, though, is all relies in transparency and realizing that we're all on the same team. There's not an us versus them, but a we versus an oppression that unfortunately affects children of color way too many times. I think about my students here recently, and I remember them running down the hallway saying, Dr. Clarkson, I'm really excited because I got accepted into this school. And I'm thinking about that scholar's educational journey, and that's what brings warmth to my heart. And that, and being able to celebrate in a community about this is really what it's all about. It's not an us versus them. It's an us versus a system that oppresses children of color, and how do we together take care of this to make sure that our children can grow up strong and have a really great educational experience.
Sheila, in your 40 years of teaching, have you seen progress, and where do you see the state of children of color in the school systems right now, especially in the public school system? Are they getting what they need, in your estimation?
It really honestly depends on what schools, even though my school district is affluent, but we have pockets of schools where we have low-income students or students who move a lot. So their education is not consistent, and the school district thinks that what they're doing is best as far as helping them fill in the gap, but it doesn't seem to be working. It seems to be getting worse. You know, the gap is increasing, not decreasing, by the time they get to me, you know, because in my school district, the kids are socially promoted up until the eighth grade. Once they get into the ninth grade, then they have an opportunity to not move on to the next grade if they don't pass their classes. It's a challenge to some of the ninth graders and their parents, because I didn't do any work for the last 3 years and they kept promoting me, and now we have an issue. And so the teachers are frustrated because of school district policies, because it ends up really hurting the children, and we feel like we're not being heard and we don't have any input. They generally listen to, our school board generally listens to the parents because those are the voters. And they don't listen to us because many of us can't even afford to live in the school districts in which we teach.
And well, Sheila, you mentioned the afford, and I do want to hit on this. And Daphne, who called in from West Virginia, said, hey, look, I could be teaching more back here in the DMV area and making more money. You had mentioned your husband taught in the private school sector, and you said, wait a minute, you got to get out of that because you're not making much money. So are teachers making, I want to say enough. We never think we make enough money. We could probably ask any person in their line of work. But has the pay gotten better? Are teachers still far, far behind what they should be earning, especially in the public school level?
Yes, and they play games with you. You have to look at the whole chart as far as our pay scale and all the school districts. Some school districts who have a challenge of getting teachers, what they do is they pay the teacher. It appears that they're getting a high pay, but what happens is they're frozen on that step. It might be 5, 6, 7 years. And But a new teacher coming in, oh my goodness, I'm going to make all this money. But you have to look at the steps. Some school districts, especially the ones that have a challenge trying to hire teachers, they have some things in their contract that teachers can't get out of. Now, they expect us to work on our master's, and they will supplement. Sometimes they'll pay for it. One school district, if we pay for your master's, you have to stay with us for 5 years, or you have to pay for it. Some teachers can't transfer out of school because sometimes it's not a good match, and they can't transfer because that school district might have a policy that the principal can block it if they think it's detrimental to their school, even though you really want that transfer. So those are some of the things that you have to challenges in the pay scale. Now, I'm at the top end. I'm not even on the scale, okay? I capped out a long time ago.
Well, you've got 40 years in. So
they wanted me gone at 25.
Yeah, so you have put your time in, and I'm sure it sounds like time well served. In the last few moments that we have, Gianni, I know that the Paul Public Charter School has some events that are upcoming that you wanted to make sure folks knew about. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're hearing is that the schoolhouse is very inclusive. Not just education happens there, but also there's services that we provide. So we're really excited about tomorrow having the Children's National Hospital bring their bus there to provide vaccines for families and also provide COVID screens as well. And then also on May 21st, we have a health and wellness fair that's going to be on our beautiful campus where you can come and you learn some yoga, some cooking demonstrations, supposed to be leading a step exercise as well, too. Also going to have some vendors there as well to improve health. So the schoolhouse is, and that's on May 21st, and those tickets are available via Eventbrite. And both those things are free. But as you're seeing, the schoolhouse is evolving to be a one-stop shop because you can't learn if you don't feel safe. You can't learn if your family's not healthy. You can't learn if your clothes are not clean. So these are all the reasons why when you see a teacher this week, tell them thank you. And because it's just that important. And though the world may try to overlook it, I think about Eleanor Roosevelt, who tried to get this week passed in 1954. It took an additional 27 years for it to be official. But though it took so long for it to be official, the teaching experience in America is official. So thank a teacher this week, today, and for the rest of the year.
He is Gianni Clarkson, educator with the Paul Charter School in the district, and Sheila Carr Spence, high school mathematics teacher in the public school system here in our area for the last 40 years. We thank both of you for being with us, and we also show you our appreciation on this National Teachers Appreciation Week. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, May 2nd. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.